for Who Has Podcast. Let's get it on. I mean, only if you want to. No pressure. Sorry, that sounded kind of awkward. This is just a podcast, so, you know, everybody relax.
Hello! Welcome, everybody, to the Ha-Ha's for Hoo-Ha's podcast. My name is Anna Lind Thomas. I'm the founder of Ha-Ha's for Hoo-Ha's, and I am here today again with co-host Susanna Lewis of Whoa Susanna. Hey, Susanna.
Hello.
How's everything going? You know, what happens is me and Susanna, we hop on to this thing, and then we talk for like 45 minutes, and then we've got nothing to say. We're like, whatever. We've already talked about that. Who cares?
That's what we should be recording in the outtakes. You know?
Exactly. I know.
That's
there
the
was
good
some
stuff. Good.
There was some good stuff in there. Like when I was like, "Hey, I kind of want to talk about like big boob problems," and Susanna's like, "I don't want to talk about boobs," but she came around because guess what? We are going to talk about boobs today.
I caved to the peer pressure. Yeah.
Well, she's got some. She's a little sensitive about boobs, and she'll explain that one a little bit later. But. Mm-hmm. I wrote a post a while ago. It did really well. It was called Big Boob Problems. And I got a lot of flack for that post from women who have extremely big boobs who got a little mad that I could still shop at Victoria's Secret. Like, that means I don't have, I you know, listen, you don't have to have a double K to be able to know that big boobs can really suck. So let's not judge each other. Let's just say that. And then I don't understand bra sizes either, because I, you know, you could have a 38D is just as big as like a 36 double D. So let's not judge. Let's just say, okay, your boobs are uncomfortable for your size. You know, so
yeah.
For me, I've always had pretty big boobs. I wouldn't say they're monstrous, but I would say that people know me. I mean, it becomes one of your identifiers. So Susanna's tall. That's one of her identifiers. Mine is curly hair, big boobs. You know what's funny, though? The first time I met Susanna in person, I didn't even notice your boobs.
Thanks.
I don't even know what that means. So what that means
It means
is,
I don't have any to notice. That's what
no,
it means.
No, it means, no, if you had none, I would have probably. So what that means is that they're just right.
Oh,
they're
thanks.
They're not like, ooh, she doesn't have a lot going on there. Or like, whoa. I'm surprised she's not walking at a 90-degree angle. So my boobs have fluctuated. They always fluctuate. They fluctuate with weight or like any other kind of thing. But I can tell you that my, I don't know. I think I'm normally like a 36 double D, I think, or a 38 D. I've got kind of a swimmer's back. You know what's kind of funny is that I've never swam. I think I took swimming lessons when I was a kid and then forgot to put my hand out and got a concussion, never went back. I was like, screw this, puking in my Mickey Mouse swimsuit.
You swam into the wall?
I swam into the wall and hit my head.
Oh, goodness.
And they were twin teachers and they taught in their house pool. I think that they were older teenagers. And they were super hot, although I was too little to kind of notice that. But I realized that my sister kept asking if she could take me to my swim lessons.
Okay? Oh, okay, yeah.
And so my sister would be sitting there on a beach. She's dressed like she's about to get in the pool. She's at my swim lessons. So she's in some kind of swimsuit, covered in oil with her shades. I'm like, excuse me, you're supposed to be observing. And then, of course, I hit my head. I go home, I throw up. She never took me to swim lessons again. Lesson learned. So my point is, I'm not a swimmer.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many women have measured me for a bra and asked how long I've been a swimmer. I'm like, no, really. I just have a wide back. It doesn't mean I've crafted this with hours and hours and hours of swimming. Butterfly stroke. This is not a butterfly stroke back. This is called... I've got some bohemian blood in my veins.
That's it.
And I've got a great grandma who did a lot of coal digging, carried in her own wood. That's the kind of back I got. All right. This is not a butterfly stroke back. But anyway. Oh. So and we'll get into the big boobs, but I will say that the trouble with getting pregnant is that I already have boobs that are pretty big, and then they're manageable. But the thing about getting pregnant is that suddenly now I have they're not manageable. They're people. God, I'm not a wordsmith, okay? What do you want from me? So they are, and it's summer. So right now, it's basically my life is dictated by my belly and my boobs. Mm-hmm. And a lot of you probably can relate to this. Did your boobs get pretty big when you were pregnant, or just kind of big for you?
Yeah, they were big.
Okay, because I kind of feel like I've left normal zone, and I am now flapping wildly and kind of freak zone is what it feels like. My daughter regularly sits on my lap and puts toys into my cleavage, and the amount of toys she can put into my cleavage is startling. So that's one negative sign.
Mm-hmm. It's a toy chest.
Yeah, and then sometimes I forget they're there, and I get up and go do something. And my husband's like, "Are you gonna get those blocks out of there?" And it's like a clown suit where the clown's just got like 18,000 tissues that he's pulling out of his pocket. Mm-hmm. That's like me getting her blocks out of my boobs.
Didn't you have some food in there? Want some cheese or something?
Always, yeah. Always. I think I did like a Twitter thing to see like what's the most embarrassing thing that's fallen out of your bra.
Yeah.
I've had
my breasts.
I've had cherry tomatoes that were steamed by the time it came out. Wrinkled, steamed. Looked like I had roasted it in the oven, which basically I had. I have had shredded cheese that was melted by the time I got to it. Chips. I mean, you're always... One time, I looked in my cleavage and I go, oh my God, what has happened? I started to freak out. It wasn't an M&M. It was kind of like an M&M candy, but it didn't have like a color shell, and it had melted in there. That was pretty scary. I mean, the list goes on and on. It's just, it's a catch-all. And the thing about when you're pregnant and they've gotten even bigger is that you're just constantly trying not to drop food into there. It's a full-time job. So
yeah.
What about you? Have you had anything fall in there, or are they just so perfect?
No, I don't have that problem. Well, you know, there's a lot of space between both of them. Like, I don't really have cleavage. I don't. You know. There's like I'm just feeling around right now. There's a hand space, like
there's a pretty like four fingers could sit in between them. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
So my tomatoes just roll straight down into my crotch area.
Well, I've got to definitely separate mine apart so that like if you could hear my voice changes because I'm looking down.
That's nice. That's how they're supposed to do. Like, you know, I have a great push-up bra that pushes them up and closer together, but there's still some space in between there. Nothing's getting stuck in there.
Yeah. Well, I will say that my belly is helping prop them up.
Oh, okay. That's a plus.
If my belly was not there, I'm a little concerned that they would be huge and long. I remember I had a teacher. She was so good. So I hate to even tease her, but she it was geology, one of those science classes you had to take in college. And she was so funny and so sweet, but she had gigantic boobs that were down to her waistline. Okay. Yeah. And when she'd really get going in a joke, like she was trying to talk, like one time she was demonstrating how, an earthquake works, and so she was kind of like dancing around showing how the plates work and all of that, and then her joke punchline at the end was like, and then afterwards you have a cocktail party or something. But whenever she'd get a good joke going and get us all laughing, her nipples would get kind of hard. I know this is gross. All of ours do. It's not like she was like turned on, but she was just stimulated by the activity, I guess. But they were so low by her waistline that I remember, I'm surprised, you couldn't look away, is my point. It was just like, where is she even wearing a bra? I've always wondered about boobs that are that big, that kind of really go down to the waistline. What's the point of the bra? Is the bra working at all?
No. The straps need some tightening up or something. I mean, what's the point? It's just like, you know, putting a little coat on them or something. You
know, I know, like a just a nice little wrap. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I could never figure that out, although she was wearing a bra, which reminded me of, there was a time in my life, and I'm not proud, but I was really into like TLC's freak shows, like the people who are sexually attracted to objects. Oh. That one. Did you ever watch that? Like My Strange Addiction, and they would be like sexually attracted to things.
Stuffed animals. Did you see the guy with the animals? The stuffed, big stuffed animals he'd put in his car and ride around and like had a place at the dinner table for this huge stuffed giraffe. Yeah, I saw that one and I didn't watch anymore.
Oh, see, that I don't like, because then you can actually visualize what they're doing to these animals, and that bothers me.
French kissed the giraffe.
Well, I saw a guy French kiss his car. He laid underneath it and then made out with the bumper, like tongue.
That can't be real. It can't be. That's got to be for show. No. It's got to be.
And so then they're always like, they're always kind of modest about the sex, but they're always like, trust me, it's good. I'm like, what does that even mean? Where?
What?
Where
the
does...
The gas cap tank.
I know.
I'm trying to think of an orifice in a car. I don't know.
Just putting it on the wheel. I don't know. I honestly don't get it.
Issues.
There was a woman who recently got fired from the Air Force. She was an Air Force pilot who had this disorder and was sexually attracted to her plane, and they had to let her go. And it made the news because they didn't know whether to give her a dishonorable discharge, because it's not like she had an illness. You know what I mean? But that's even why she got into becoming a pilot, was because she was sexually attracted to planes. And I don't know how you figure out, like, your fellow pilots sexually into the plane. I don't know how that you put those pieces together, because it would be so far. I would just think, I don't know. I mean, then there was a woman who was sexually attracted to a wall, and it was a very specific wall. And she would go by and stroke it and kiss it and make out with it. And then she was the one who was like, you know, a lot of the times people ask about the sex, all you need to know is it's good. And I'm like, oh.
I think they're confused by what the word sex means.
I mean, exactly.
I really think there's some serious psychological issues taking place here.
Well, exactly. And they don't want to be defined by having a psychological issue. They just want to be accepted for being different. And I go, no, we've got to draw a line. A line has to be drawn.
Look, I accept differences, but when you say the sex is good with a wall, there's some issues here.
It has to be a human being. Once you start including anything out of the human being species, we are now into mental health issue mode.
We are. And that's not judging. That's just common sense.
It's just when you're laying on your ground making out with a car bumper that probably has like dead flies and bugs on it.
There's a problem.
And we're just going to speak it. We're just going to speak it. Me and you. We're not afraid. Yeah. We're not afraid of the PC police.
No, I'm not.
We're going to speak truth.
That's right.
Okay. So somewhere I've gotten off on that tangent about people with weird sex addiction. Oh, okay. So I was watching a show about women who had freakishly big boobs who were getting these surgeries. Okay. Kind of probably in the same vein of My 600-Pound Life or whatever. Mm-hmm. And this woman had, it was like J's, M's. I didn't even know bra numbers went down that far, but she was way down the alphabet. And she kind of had the ones that would go down even past her waistline. And it would show the bra that she had. It's not even a bra. Like you said, it's just like a sling wrap. It just doesn't, you know, poor lady. Well, anyway, she wanted to get, the surgery could only get her to an eye, because any more than that was taking most of her body away. Yeah, so the best they could do was get her to the eye zone. And her husband, who, how do I put this? I'm going to sound judgmental, but I can't help it. I have to describe how he looked.
You've already offended everyone who's sexually attracted to walls.
I might as well just go for it.
Just go for it, yeah.
Let's just say there were some missing teeth, probably a two-pack-a-day smoker, trucker hat, skinny, long hair, and a ponytail. That's the look he's got going on.
My neighbor.
As she went into
in Tennessee, remember. Okay, go
ahead. As she was in surgery, he was bawling. And he wasn't bawling because he was worried about her not making it out. He was bawling that she was going to lose his most favorite breasts.
Couldn't they just put it in a doggy bag and send it home with him?
Yeah, just tie it up at the end.
Put it on the wall.
Just stuff it. Put it on the wall.
I'm sure taxidermists do that.
Oh, he could have done that easy. I don't know why he didn't think of that. He bawled because he was going to miss him so much. And I was just like, well, first of all, she's still going to have eyes. And then I thought, he's one of these freaky people who has a sexual addiction to something freaky.
Yeah. He's a boob man.
He's a boob man, but he's a boob man to the extreme.
Yeah, yeah.
So that lady, I mean, me and her could talk about boob problems, but she's on a whole new planet. And it was women who had boobs like that who started to get pissed at me that I had no right to write a post like this. And I'm like, listen, I can still crack jokes about big boobs and not be a K. Everybody.
Dorothy, was it Dorothy?
Yes, that woman Dorothy.
Breasts or
God.
What did she say?
Okay, so for my very first post with the paper, and I should have known that writing for a big paper, I was going to attract a lot of uptight elderly folk. Because who actually reads a paper these days? You know what I mean? So anyway, for those of you who follow Hoo-Ha's, I write for the Omaha World Herald and the Mamaha blog. So the Mamaha section, which is motherhood related topics. I've got a column there. Well, they pick up my column and they put it in the living section of the newspaper. Okay. So I knew it was going to get touchy because obviously my demographic is women in my age range. And I knew I was going to hit a lot of people outside of my age range or my demographic. So my very first column, I say boobs in it a few times. Mm-hmm. I got an extremely lengthy letter to the editor about my use of the word boobs, how that is a horrible, degrading word to women, that I am setting a horrible example for my daughter. How will your daughter feel to grow up one day knowing that her mother is saying the word boob? I'm like, probably she's going to be saying boob. Anyway. She said that her husband used to use it, and she taught him how horrific it is and that he now sees her ways. He's probably like, whatever, I just got to get this lady to shut up. And
gets in the car on the way to work and says, boobs, 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 boobs,
boobs. Like he's got Tourette's.
Yeah,
exactly.
Boobs.
He's at work just like, boobs, boobs, boobs. You know, just yelling it. People are like, Stan, are you all right? He's like, sorry. My wife doesn't let me say the word boobs. She was literally, you could tell she was deeply disgusted with me as a human being over the word boobs. And so everybody, of course, in the office is laughing. Mm-hmm. And I actually requested it because I wanted to kind of frame it as my first letter to the editor because it was just so outrageous. And I think I ended up throwing it away because I'm too lazy to go buy frames. I always have lofty plans. I never follow through. Yeah. So that was Dorothy. Apparently, boobs is degrading to women. There are words that bother me, but they're pretty gross words. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't like the P-U-S-S-Y word. I don't like that one. That one makes me cringe. Mm-hmm. So I have words that But
I've
they're
got a couple, yeah,
they're extreme.
Yeah, to the extreme.
And the only one that's not is moist. But I don't judge you if you use moist. I just ask that you don't just back off the word. Did that make you uncomfortable when I just said it just now?
Yeah. Yeah. I'd wish you'd spelled that one and just said the other one actually.
If I'm really, I think there was one time I was really mad, and I think I used it as an insult once.
You called someone moist?
No, the P word.
Oh.
Like, you moist son of a bitch. You moist son of a bitch.
Oh, God. Thought maybe you got mad at your cake or something.
No, I think I use it as an insult, but I was saying it to my husband, but I was mad at this particular man who had done something real. I don't remember, but I was like, what a freaking, and I called him that. And I remember my husband was like, whoa, I can handle it a little bit better when it's an insult than when people are actually using it for a woman.
Move on.
Okay. Sorry.
Let's go.
One point is that I just have to share it because I have to cleanse it from my mind. So I'm going to dump it onto you guys. There was one time where I drove a Jeep Wrangler for a while, and this girl I barely knew got into the car and kind of got in and kind of hit herself, and she goes, oh, ouch, my P-U-S-S. Yeah. She never got in my car again.
No, I hope not.
If you get a crotch shot or get kicked in the crotch and then you refer to it as your P word, we just can't be friends. And I don't want to judge. I'm not judging. Well, I am a little. I'm just saying that we don't have anything in common if you're capable of doing that.
Those are the kind of people who are sexually attracted to their walls.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
Anyway, so.
Well, you know, Sophia calls Dorothy Pussycat on the Golden Girls all the time, right?
That's true, but I can kind of handle that better, too. I guess it's just when it's like when men are using it towards women.
Yeah, I can't do it. Okay.
That's when it kind of just, and if another man is mad at another guy and uses it as an insult for being weak, it doesn't bother my ear. Right. I don't prefer it, but it doesn't quite give me that shiver up my spine than when it's being actually referenced to the body part. You know,
what if you put the word moist with it?
Then I have to go to bed. I have to lay down like the women in the early 1900s with a cool cloth.
Oh, you need the smelling salts.
I need vapor. To smell it.
You're overcome by the vapors.
Yeah. I'm overcome by the vapors. I got to lay down. I need a cool cloth. I need a nurse to tell my family to come out and tell my family that I need a good couple of hours to just sleep it off.
Bring the family in.
Yeah, exactly.
That was terrible. Let's move on. Cut that out.
Let's move on. Yeah, everybody's cringing now. They've shut us off.
Cut that entire part out. Yeah.
Okay. So, so right now, this is going to be a bit of a TMI podcast. I don't know how else to say it, but pregnancy is hard in the summer, and if you've ever been your biggest in the summer, you know what I'm talking about. It gets hot, and I have heat rash going on. I am constantly trying to maintain my body. My mom, I was like, Mom, I'm getting heat rash. It's embarrassing. My husband was like, well, why don't you use like baby powder? And I was like, oh, it's going to get all clumpy everywhere. You know, it's embarrassing to just be dousing your body with baby powder. Mm-hmm. So I got the Burt's Bees because I'm afraid of talc, because I think talc gives people cancer. I don't know. I didn't look it up. I'm just trying to be natural.
A commercial says it does.
Yeah. Well, and you're the all natural deodorant girl. So you're with me on this, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I am.
So I think it's just when you put it on your private parts. Because that's close to, I think it causes ovarian cancer, or it's been linked to it. But you have to use it daily on your private parts.
Well, who does that?
A lot of people. A lot.
What?
But they're mostly kind of in their 50s now. It's a generational thing. Well, I'm like, isn't it clumpy at the end of the day?
Okay. Look. I'm too sheltered for this podcast. I don't know what's happened here. It's taking a weird turn.
This is going to have to be an E expletive rated version.
You're going to have to put a disclaimer out there for a rating.
This is not one. You shouldn't probably, even though Susanna and I keep it pretty clean, you should probably never have it on in your car with your kids in the back seat, I would say.
No, probably not.
Because we just don't know where it's going to go.
Especially
it's fly
if
by
they
the
can
seat.
Spell. If they can spell.
They're in big trouble.
Since we're spelling out dirty words, then they should probably ride the bus if you're going to do that.
Exactly. So, yeah, well, for women, I think especially the older generations grow up kind of using it to freshen themselves up. And then that, if you do it daily, it can be a, I mean, our generation is just like, screw it. Let's just put some, you know, let's just use a lot of AC. I mean, I don't understand. I don't get it.
I don't know.
No. Well, anyway, I tried that for the upper part of my body. And it was a nightmare. It was like clumpy, gross, ridiculous. Took a shower. It was terrible. So my mom tells me, she goes, why don't you use some coconut oil? Now, my mom is extremely crunchy. She always has been. You know, like when you're a kid where your mom is like passively aggressively like giving you pamphlets on the dangers of smoking. My mom's like giving me pamphlets on the dangers of aspartame. You know, like my mom
smoked and drank Tab, so no.
So you didn't have that. Well, some parents want to do interventions on smoking, drugs, whatever. My mom was trying to do a Diet Pepsi intervention.
Yeah.
I think I was 17 years old. I'd walk in with like a 44-ouncer, you know, just rocking that Diet Pepsi. And she'd be like, that's going to kill you. That is going to kill you. So I was getting lectured like she found my cigarettes. And so this is the way I've been raised. We used to grind our own grain. My mom, you know, she was over the top. But that's so. Of course, my mom's going to suggest coconut oil, which I was like, coconut oil. So I'm going to be all greasy, smelling like coconut.
It seems kind of messy.
It does. Well, to my pleasant surprise, it's a miracle. It is a miracle. If you are having a heat rash, whether it's your armpits or something else, if you use coconut oil, it does go into the skin. A lot of women use it as a lotion. And it is also naturally antibacterial. So if you do have a hot spot going on, put some coconut oil on. Oh, I'm like a new woman. However, I have to apply it several times a day.
Cold pressed?
That's what I asked my mom. I'm like, is it extra virgin? Is it cold pressed? Can it be refined?
Yeah, refined, cold pressed.
Because I wanted it
organic.
I wanted it refined because the other stuff I used for cooking and it smells like coconut. And I just, my husband's like, well, what's the problem? You'll smell like, I was like, you know, it's not the same as using Tropicana coconut oil for when you're laying out in the sun. This is like for real coconut. It's not going to, you know, I don't need that in my life. So I use the refined. So anyway, that's just a little hot tip. So my point is that my boobs are huge. And I remember when I had Lucy, I was talking to the nurse right after I had her. And I just said, my boobs are so big that I don't even know how to manage them. And here I am trying to put a baby at the end of this thing. It's like trying to put a dime at the end of a missile. I mean, it's just the poor baby's like, whoa.
Yeah.
So I go, I don't even know how to manage this thing. And she goes, well, wait till your milk comes in. And I was like, oh, God, it gets worse. So once the milk comes in, it gets worse. I remember they were so big, I just wore a robe and cried to my husband. I just cried. And I was like, you have to go get me some better bras or something. I'm miserable. Because the bras that I had didn't fit. So I had no bra to wear. Oh, it was a night. So he went to Target and he'd like take pictures of all these like different maternity bras. And he'd be like, which one do you want? And I was like, get the one that's a little bit cheaper, you know.
Glad he didn't lose his phone. They're like, what kind of a sicko is this?
Maternity section, saggy by sack.
He has a series. He should be on that show about addictions on TLC with his maternity bras.
That is a really good point. I should have told him afterwards, you better delete those pictures because if we ever get hacked and you become somebody, that's going to come back to haunt you.
Yeah, weird.
If you ever try to run for president or something.
And nobody will believe that story that my wife was home with huge milky boobs. And She sent me to Target. I mean, crying. That's unbelievable. Nobody will believe that.
She was crying and begging because none of her bras fit. She needed a nursing bra that was comfortable mm-hmm. and loose. And so I love her and I went, what do you want mm-hmm. from me?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. That's a really, and I never asked him. I'm going to ask him after this podcast. Were people looking at you while you were taking pictures of it?
Sure they were.
Because, you know, you'd be like, what the hell is he doing?
He's on a registry somewhere.
That's what they held their kids tight and got the hell out of there.
They did. They did.
So
they said, what is Target becoming now?
That they're going to start boycotting. Like, start I told you.
First the bras and now bathrooms.
I told you, when you start letting people into those bathrooms, all hell's going to break loose. Look at this man. Yeah. He's disgusting. He is disgusting. Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
So, okay, I want to talk a little bit about some of my big boob problems because I've got a lot now that I'm pregnant. But for all the ladies who are a little bit bigger, you know what I'm talking about. And then they just get saggy. So then they're big and saggy. And then I've got my geology teacher's problem where my nipples are going off like turkey timers near my belt. I can't live that way. You know what I mean?
No.
Now you had, the reason you didn't want to talk about boobs was because you've been a little sensitive lately. Do you want to share with the folks?
I guess so. Okay. Well, you know, I had the video about the first day of kindergarten versus every other grade that went pretty viral. Mm-hmm. And in the first half of the video, I didn't anticipate that I would be making a video that morning. So, you know, I don't look really good. Like, you know, I take my kids to school in my pajamas every morning. And then I come home and then I get dressed or whatever. And so in the first half of the video, my breasts look disgusting, for lack of a better word. They're very droopy looking, saggy, no supportive bra on. They're kind of hanging and dangling, you know, do your boobs hang low? Do they wobble to and fro? That kind of thing. And so I posted it. And then the second half of the video, you know, I look okay. I'm cleaned up. So I posted it not knowing that 42 million people would see it. And so now I have, you know, I've had several comments about my boobs. I had some lady, listen, I had a lady, this is true. This is the most passive aggressive email I have ever received in my life.
Wait, it wasn't a comment. It was an actual
email. It was an
email
because, you know, they loved it because I disabled the messaging feature on my Facebook page. Mm-hmm. So people now think they should email me when they don't want to leave a comment. I mean, I had several, you know, public comments about it, but I got an email from a lady and the first paragraph was very kind. And, you know, I love you. You make me laugh. I loved your video. Second paragraph, completely different person. And she said, but honestly, you really need to do something about your breasts and get a better bra because nobody wants to look at that. Have a great day. And I just sat there and I was like, and I reread the first paragraph and I was like, okay. And then I reread the second one. I was like, what's wrong with people?
What is wrong with people?
I don't know, but she felt the need to take the time out of her busy schedule to address me. I mean, and it would have been different if she was like trying to sell me a bra, like, you know, if she worked for some bra company or something, you know, and wanted me to try out a new product or something, you know, but she was just letting me know out of the goodness of her heart that nobody wants to see that. And it looked disgusting.
Were you honey, wearing you really- a
And she said, honey.
Oh, I'm sure she did.
She were said, you- honey, you need a better bra.
Were you wearing? No, were you wearing? You no. weren't wearing a bra that day, so you were kind of in your PJs.
Yeah. So I had, you know, I did. I called into Fox Phoenix, and they were playing the video, and somebody recorded it for me on their DVR and sent it to me. It was in the Arizona area. And so, you know, they asked me some questions while the morning show asked me some questions, and the whole time I was watching it, all I kept looking at were my boobs. And thankfully, though, they had it, you know how Fox has that ticker tape scrolling at the bottom?
Yeah.
It scrolled in just the right place so nobody could see what was really happening. So when other people have asked me to send the video in, you know, the original file. I have cropped it so you cannot see like you can see the bottom of my boobs just hanging there.
Well, see, this
very unflattering.
This is why I admire you, though, because you don't really care. You're just like, whatever, the comedy comes first, and you'll just send it off into Never Never Land, where I'm still scarred from the fart story where a few people mocked my wedding photo because I used to have a picture of me and Rob for our wedding, which I thought I looked gorgeous. And they go after my hair so bad, and I'm so traumatized by it that now if my hair looks bad, which is really, I'm kind of getting to the point now where I could really care less because I honestly don't read a ton of comments most of the time. I try to interact, but you have to be careful. Yeah. So I'm still kind of like, ooh, that was really funny, but someone's going to say something about this.
Yeah.
And you just go for it. And that's what I because who cares? Because at the end of the day, they are still a very small minority who A, noticed, or B, judged it. You know, if anything, they're like, look at you. She's just like me. She's just a real woman.
My husband didn't notice it. But, you know, I think it played into the fact that, you know, the first day of kindergarten, you are a mess. You're in your pajamas. You don't have a bra on. You look terrible. Your hair's dirty.
Exactly.
And then the second half, you're cleaned up. And I had posted a video too, I don't know if you saw this, about a week after that went viral, I had posted a video for my car, a little PSA that I do, and the way the camera, I have like one of those phone holders and I record with my phone, and it was stuck on my dashboard, and the way the camera was positioned, it cut off like right in the middle of my boobs.
Yeah.
So all you saw were like the top hat. You didn't see where they ended, you know?
Right.
I got so many comments on that about my boobs.
Well, did they look big? Or what did it make your boobs look like? Yeah.
They looked huge. But it did look like I didn't have a bra on because it didn't, you couldn't see that they were supported. They just looked like they were hanging there. But I did have a good bra on. And so I had a lot of people, you know, the funny comments I didn't mind, you know, oh, your boobs look huge today. But then when I started getting into the, you know, the trolls coming out and saying, you know, I couldn't focus on the message of this because of those boobs hanging out. And then, you know, somebody said, here's your PSA, BRA, which I thought was pretty funny. I kind of like that.
Doesn't it piss you off when they're being nasty, but it makes you laugh? That happened to me a couple months ago where I was like, you bizzo, that's hilarious, but it's mean.
I know. So I took the video down. It had like, I don't know, 7,000 likes, and I couldn't, I don't really use the read the comments either, but it was doing really well and had a lot of likes and shares, and I just couldn't handle because people were tagging me in the comments, so I would read them not realizing what I was about
to read. And they're, well, it's when you've done something and then something is distracting in it that is taking it so off course that you have to take it down.
I did, because everybody was focused on that. Nobody even cared what I was talking about. So I did take the video down. I cropped it where it's just, you can find it on my Facebook page. It's just my head pretty much. From the neck down has been cut off, and I reposted it, and it didn't get quite as many likes and shares, of course. But my breasts were distracting because they're not that, they're not huge. They're pretty normal size.
Right. Well, I have to be really careful because if I were to cut halfway at my boobs, I'll always look outrageous. So I either, it either has to go down to my waist or it has to go above them because if it's cut in the middle, you do just like look like you're just got two buoys under there.
And it
does. It's exactly. So it is, you do have to kind of be careful. Plus, another thing is that I've never felt like sitting and having a camera full on me in the sit position was ever my best angle either. Like when I was on this local morning show and I saw the couch I had to sit on, I was like, oh, crap. The camera is going to just put me right in the sitting position. And then the woman, the journalist, she's already got the look down. She already knows her bad angle, her good angle, the good way to sit, the bad way to sit. She was sitting at the very edge of her chair. Her back was like, it's like somebody put a pole up her butt. I mean, I was like, so I was trying to kind of imitate her because I was like, she knows what's going on. Yeah. And I ended up crossing my legs, which helped. But that, I mean, it is, I'm telling you, it's hard to be on camera because people just mm-hmm. look and have an opinion. It's pretty brutal.
Yeah.
So already I can tell, though, that you don't have big boob problems because you wore, you didn't wear a bra. I could never not wear a bra in public, mm-hmm. even if I'm staying in my car.
Well, you know, in high school, I used to, when I used to wear like a lot of tube tops from American Eagle, I'd wear Band-Aids.
See, that would, that's never an option for me. I, if I were to try to wear a tube top without a bra, I would immediately go into mm-hmm. the white trash section of the population. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. I can't, there's no, people would be like, has she lost her mind? I mean, mm-hmm. it would look like I was one of those like ladies who hang out at the bar, those like, bars truckers go to, and I'm like, hey, so, hey, handsome, where are you coming from?
A lot lizard.
That's the look I've got. I can't do that.
Well, so I can't do it anymore. Like, I don't leave the house in Band-Aid. But back then, when I was in my early 20s and call it, like, they were nice and firm and high, you know? And yeah, I was blessed, but not now.
See, I've always had big enough boobs that I've never been able to live that lifestyle. And mm-hmm. sometimes I just wonder, I'm going to live my whole life never knowing what that's like. That's a tough pill.
You don't have to.
Well, I don't want to be a lot lizard because that's the category I'm going to go into immediately. And plus, my Band-Aids now are going to be pointing down. So they're going to see the Band-Aid. You're going to see the outline of the Band-Aid, and it's going to be pointing down towards my feet.
You need like those really big Band-Aids for like, you know, deep wounds.
Yeah, just plaster the whole front of it is what I would need.
Some gauze.
Oh, it's bad. It's so bad. And so then I even thought about that because this is another big boob problem. I thought about that when I had my baby and we're taking these pictures, which I'm not so superficial that I care that much about how I looked. But there was a part of me that's like, man, my boobs are going to look awful in this hospital gown. Mm. And it was so big and blousy, it ended up not being an issue. But
well, you know, you always want what you don't have, you know. And I have often thought I'd love to have just big, voluptuous breasts.
Well,
moist breasts.
They'll get moist, trust me. Especially in the middle.
Panini breasts that cook cheese and sandwiches.
They are roast tomatoes. Roasted tomatoes.
I'd love to have those.
Yeah. You know I'm Italian. Just put some Parmesan cheese in there, and I'll make you something good.
You're like, heated or toasted.
Exactly. But you mentioned, though, you would realize that if you got any bigger, which Susanna just gave me her size, and it's very normal, good mm-hmm. size. That's probably why I didn't really notice them, good or bad, because they're just that perfect size for her body. But she told me that... my point is that if they got any bigger than that, mm-hmm. no one would look you in the eyes. And it is a phenomenon where, mm-hmm. especially men, you just get, they just mm-hmm. keep dropping them down, keep dropping, they can't look away, and it's ridiculous. So, my husband looks me in the eyes nowadays. I think he's kind of over it. There was one morning where I had one out. He's like, do you even realize it's out? Because they're so big. They're so big and horrible and pregnant-y that it was just out of my tank top. And I didn't even know. I was like, pretty hot, isn't it? He's like, well, I mean, kind of. It depends. Probably not. I'm like, okay, I'm sorry. Button-down shirts. Okay, here's probably one of my biggest issues is that I can't buy a button-up shirt off the rack.
Mm-hmm.
Because even when the boobs will always bulge, so if mm-hmm. I get it big enough to fit my chest without bulging, but fit me nicely around the waist, then I'm gonna look like a box. I mean, I look terrible. If I get it to nicely fit my waist, then I can't button it. So basically, I'd have to get everything tailored if that's the look I wanted. And if I'm too lazy to buy a frame at Michael's, you know I'm not going to go get my crap tailored.
Yeah.
So button-ups are off the table. So that sucks. You probably enjoy button-ups all the time. You just button Mm-mm. it up. You don't even realize it's how good Mm-mm. you have it. No?
No, you have to iron button-ups. No, I don't iron.
No. Okay, so that's out. All right, so you always got to deal with the third boob. I'm sure you've seen the third boob. Where
I
the
have
woman,
seen it. Not on myself, but yeah. I've seen
the
it.
Bra's not working. The woman's just making that bra work for its money. You know, it's just... And then that third boob pops out in the middle. That sucks. That's happened to me. I probably got one going on right now, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's a bit of a problem. Can we talk about swimsuits?
Yeah.
Do you know how hard it is for a woman like me to feel comfortable in a swimsuit? Like a one piece, number one, they're going to be down to my belly button.
Mm-hmm.
That's embarrassing. I'm going to look like you in that video, apparently. I actually didn't notice your boobs at all. So people are stupid. Yeah. I don't even understand that. But anyway, so now they come out with swimsuits. So then one time I had a bikini. I had to get the underwire. The underwire is not great, but it's better than nothing. So then your swimsuit, it's just, I think I have an e-card about it. It's like, let's put on our saggy boob suits and head out to the pool. Because you're just going to be saggy boobs. Who has mm-hmm. good boobs in a swimsuit other than people who have fake boobs? Or no boobs?
Mm-hmm. Now,
you've been suffering with some saggy boobs, as you've been saying. So how do you feel in a swimsuit? Confident? Not confident?
Well, I'm not confident, but not because of my boobs. I'm more worried about the cellulite on my backside. You know?
Yeah. Well,
dimples, stretch dimples. Marks, dimples.
It's all
sagging skin.
Everything's
didn't
just
shave
not
my
quite.
Legs.
Didn't shave my legs. That's a
yeah, the
one.
Boobs are like. Yeah, the boobs didn't are the least of my worries in a bathing suit.
Didn't shave your armpits.
Oh gosh, that's the worst. Where that's does that hair one. Come from? I mean, you shave and like overnight, it's like, you know, boosh. It's just
I know.
Bad.
It's like what? It's like a man's midnight shadow.
It is. And you know that little crease where the razor just, you know, you can't get to it where it's kind of concave. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And so you've got like a hair that's 7 inches long, like you could braid it.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Where does that come from? I don't get it.
I've been getting in a lot of trouble lately because it's becoming very hard to shave my legs. And so I shave in our tub. We kind of have a whirlpool tub that I try to take a bath in just because it's so relaxing and my joints are starting to get sore. And so I'll shave in there, which I can barely breathe because I can barely get over my stomach. But I shave in there my legs. But that's where my shaver is at our kind of whirlpool tub. So when I'm in the shower to wash my hair, I don't have a razor in there, so I've got to use my husband's, right? And I try to get rid of all the evidence because apparently every time I use it, he cuts his face, which I don't know why. All men complain about this. What is the dynamic that when a woman uses your shaver, now you're just a bloodbath? I don't, what happened to the shaver?
I don't know. We broke it, I guess.
But a couple of things I've been doing, I guess, you know, so I might get some like residual deodorant in it. I don't know, but I piss him off so bad because I've got to shave. And it's hairy because it's growing like weeds. I don't know if it's the prenatal vitamins, but they are growing so fast.
Mm-hmm.
It's a full time. So I just let it get to the point where I'm slightly embarrassed. And then that's when I go take care of it because, you know, I've got things to do, stuff to write, working on my armpits all day. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so... Another one is people assume we're being sexual at all times. I will never forget this, but when I worked in California in an office, when you get a review, she asks everybody else to kind of give you a review in the office and everywhere else. So I didn't work in the housing. I lived in the residence halls or near the residence halls. And I was the person who responded to emergencies. I ran the halls. If you got caught drinking, I was the disciplinarian. It was that kind of thing. Mm. So
everybody loved you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, people normally liked me, but if you got in trouble, I remember one time there was a girl who was, I was on duty. And this girl who I really liked, I had a pretty good, fun relationship with her. she was super drunk and they called me in and they go, oh crap, you're the one who's on duty. I go, yeah, why? And they go, cause she's begging that it's not you. I go, all right, well, we'll be fine. Oh, so yeah. The next day I go into the bathroom where she is and she's got throw up everywhere. And she's like, don't tell Anna. Don't tell Anna. And then I walk in, she's like, oh damn it, you told Anna. when I had to meet with her for her disciplinary stuff, she didn't even remember it. So I was like, well, that's good.
Yeah.
So anyway, my point being is I would go into the office and that's where all the administrative people were. And one chick, and I know who it is. All of my review, everyone said I was really great, loved working with me, blah, blah, blah. This chick was like, said that I wore inappropriate shirts that accentuated my breasts.
Oh.
And my boss put that in there. And I was like, did you need to include it? Because she was like, I don't know what she's talking about. That's ridiculous. And I go, well, then don't include it. Because that, I always wore very appropriate clothes. I just have big boobs. So because I have big boobs, you think I'm being sexual and inappropriate. It's not right. Like I had cleavage pouring out of my shirt. I wore suits. Like maybe a V-neck with like a suit top or so. You know what I mean? Like a suit jacket. I was like, "What?"
She had a J on her chest. That's what it is. Jealous.
Wait. Yes. Nah, well, I know who it is, too. I'm not going to say names. Kathy with a K. If you're listening to this right now, I know it was you. I know it was you.
Kathy. Somehow I knew it would be a Kathy.
Kathy with a K. Don't be surprised. Mm-hmm. So here's something that when you have big boobs that you don't think of, but or that maybe people with regular boobs wouldn't think of. Like, one time my friend was like, would you ever go on Survivor? And I go, no. And here's why. Because I need a freaking bra. Like, these women don't wear bras. They basically wear these bands as bras. I go, no. Mm-hmm. I have to have a bra. And most of these women, like, you can only choose so many things that you can have. And a bra seems to not be one of them. So I'm like, and I don't need a sexy bra. So I would be out there probably in some kind of, like, white Playtex full coverage. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sitting there with my belly hanging out, trying to chisel something with a rock, getting pissed off at a guy named Gary. Like, shut up, Gary. Like, there's no way. There is no way I'm going to be on national TV with my saggy boobs without a good bra. And then the good bra I have that really fully supports me, they're going to see it. I'm just going to be wearing it out in the jungle. No!
You know what that reminds me of. You know, it's the worst. I watch a lot of these National Geographic shows, and you know they'll show like the African tribes that the women wear no tops or whatever, and a lot of them have really saggy breasts from breastfeeding so many children or whatever, and so they're just there in their natural element, but they'll put that blurry bar up to cover their breasts, but they put it like over the nipple area. So the bar is like at their belly button.
Exactly. That would totally be me. I was just going to say, like, if I was on the show Naked and Afraid, they'd have to blur out my whole midsection.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or just like a little blurry spot at the very bottom. I can't live this way. I refuse to live this way. People are like, so you're not afraid about, being barefoot in the jungle and sleeping naked next to some stranger? No. I'm more self-conscious about my boobs. That is a big boob problem. The other stuff would suck.
Yeah.
I also have naturally curly hair, so I would have the worst hair on the planet.
I would too.
I would be a mess. It would look like someone just took a Brillo pad to my hair every day.
Yeah. Yes. Me too.
And some of these women just look gorgeous. I'm like, I'm not naturally gorgeous like this where I can be in a jungle for who knows how. I mean, by 3 o'clock p.m. I would be a wreck. Mm-hmm. So on the first day. So I just forget it. I can't be on these shows. Sometimes I've always wanted to be on shows like, I think I've only seen like 2 seasons of The Amazing Race, but I still really want to be on the show The Amazing Race. I think it's still on. I'm like, people are still watching that show.
I haven't seen it in years.
I could see myself getting into some situations where I'm like, oh God, there's no way I'm going to do that. And then that would suck. I usually think I'm really competitive and a total badass, but there's just some things you just have to draw the line. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I can't. Well, now I'm trying to think of examples and I can't. It's been so long since I've seen it. What a terrible example. I'm like, this great show I want to be on that I barely even remember. So anyway, big boob problems. Listen, if you are a big boob girl and you're just like, hallelujah, driving in your car to work or doing some chores or doing something, you're just like, yes, yes, Anna, I've been there. Yes. Comment, email us. Let us know what are some of your most annoying big boob pet peeves. You can always comment on the links that we share on our pages, either Whoa Susanna or the Ha-Ha's for Hoo-Ha's podcast, or on the actual post where it is at on the Hoo-Ha's page. And then if you guys leave something funny, we'll share it on the next episode. But, oh, good gracious. Well, speaking of big boobs, I'm actually wearing a nursing bra right now. I probably should lasso this puppy up and face the day. You got a bra on? Are you fully strapped?
Yeah, girl, I'm ready to go. I got my good bra on and my makeup and everything.
See, I just woke up in my it's like a nursing bra, so there's no underwire, with a tank top. I'm still in my pajama bottoms, had a cup of coffee. Mm-hmm. Off to a slow start. So
it's okay. It's okay. You're pregnant. Yeah. You can do that.
I know. I'm on the finish line too. The baby's coming. So
the amazing Susanna. Race.
Yeah, it is. Oh, can you hear that noise? That's my dad. Okay. Can you hear a noise? Have you been hearing like a song? Okay, it's only through my earbuds. No. I have my phone rings through my computer and my dad's been really trying to get a hold of me, so it's like, I'm podcasting, I'm a professional, Dad.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Susanna, this has been fun. Until next time, my friend.
Yep.
All right. If you haven't been following us already, I don't know what's wrong with you. Ha-Ha's for Hoo-Ha's on Facebook. Also, you can follow my author page, Anna Lynn Thomas, and Susanna Lewis is at Whoa Susanna. So follow us there. Yes. All right, everybody. We'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And that's it. Another riveting episode of the Ha-Ha's for Hoo-Ha's podcast. Thank you so, so much for listening. I love you long time. Platonically, of course. If you're not following me on Facebook and Twitter, I don't know what the hell you're doing with your time, and I'm slightly irritated. For the latest scoop, calls for participation, etc., just search Ha-Ha's for Hoo-Ha's podcast, and don't forget to follow Ha-Ha's for Hoo-Ha's and my more personal author page, Anna Lynn Thomas. I know you know how to Google, so don't even trip. Until next time, friends.